Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's a tradition.
Beautiful day. Right to the back of the field.
classic choir. Come on, Glastonbury. Okay, listen to this. Harmonies. That's beautiful. Just do it a bit louder. All right, Karen, just you on your own.
Many people in the US will know that song. That is the song One Day Like This by Elbow, and it was live. They're a band from Britain, formed in 1997. They actually played at the 2012 London Olympics, when all of the athletes arrived for the closing ceremony, and played that particular song. A brilliant sort of totemic song. And you just could hear the, you know, crowd of 70-odd thousand that were there for that particular festival in 2017, singing along, even with harmonies, goodness help me, near the end. Hatta, what did you think of that sing-along?
You know, I wasn't paying much attention. I was trying to finish this thing.
No, that's okay. I asked you to do that. That's fair. Anyway, you have popped across to Blog Talk Radio. This is a team of voices. I'm A.P. Taylor. That was Jay Hatta, who's finishing his palm off. And this is Deborah Lee, and we do this show every week. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am good. Did you like the singing at the end? Those Brits can really sing. You get them in a song they like. I mean, three-part harmony and all.
You know, I think that one of the most amazing things ever for a band or a singer has to be standing there and listening to your audience sing your song to you.
Yeah.
There's a handful of songs that happens in, and I find it fascinating, and I just could only imagine being surrounded by that many people saying my words or singing my words. Like we all do on mute for Hatter's Poll.
Well, exactly. But just some brilliant lyrics in it. Throw your curtains wide one day like this. I just love the words of the song. Of course, the title or the theme for this week is curtains, and curtains are basically in the chorus. So throw these curtains wide, one day like this the year would see me rise, is simply the chorus, and they repeat it. But interestingly, unlike most sort of modern songs, that chorus doesn't appear till about 3 minutes into the song. It goes for about 4 or 5 minutes, normally 7 minutes when you have something like that sing-along going along. But The chorus sort of appears very late in the song, but it's all about curtains, and the song itself is all about love. It's a love song written for the person who was the lead singer falling in love with his now wife, which is kind of fun. I had to explain how the band got its name Elbow. You know, not every rock band is called Elbow. Yeah, and so if you're a fan of BBC TV drama, in the late 90s, there was a TV show from the BBC, and it was called The Singing Detective. And it was a brilliant sort of innovative series, and everybody watched it, and it was the most sort of popular thing going around at the end of the 90s, yeah? Anyway, the main character in that, Philip Marlowe, described the word elbow as the loveliest word in the English language. And when this band heard that, they changed their name to Elbow. That was what they did.
How did it get its name?
The Singing Detective, which was the big show on BBC in Britain, the main character on that program said Elbow was the loveliest word in the English language. And the band heard that, and they changed that to Elbow. I'm just reporting, you know, why they were called Elbow. You know, I don't pass thingy on it. I'm just saying it's not every rock band called Elbow. So there you go.
It reminds me of how Procol Harum wrote or titled their Whiter Shade of Pale.
It was at a
party, and one of the band members had partied too much, and somebody had leaned to that guy next to him and goes, "Boy, he looks a whiter shade of pale."
So
that was it.
There you go. Yeah, no,
wait,
I like that. It's fun. A poem by Deb, a poem by me, a poem by Stephen, 76, on the wonderful world of curtains. And so I thought what we might do was lead off with Stephen. Anna?
I'm almost done with mine.
That's okay.
Are you? Well, if that's
Stephen's the case,
I'll change my mind,
well.
And I'll lead off with Deb.
Can
I, Deb, can I lead off with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Stephen's not feeling well, so he won't be able to call, so he'd appreciate you reading it.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, no, we can do that, but I'm going to start with you, Deb. We haven't started with a poem by you for ages, so it's your turn.
Oh. Okay.
Speaker. And you're
fine there. So the photo that I used is from a real musical called The Dance of the Vampires. And theaters always have such gorgeous curtains. And since we were talking about where the term originated, it took me to this. So it's called Vampire Tales and Dinner Theater Drama. Here we go. Red velvet curtains are drawn and the people clap. On the backdrop, big rhinestone sequins are tacked. Over balcony seats and the chairs in rows up front, all the lights are dimmed and the house is packed. In the auditorium, the audience stares at the stage. Costumed actors stand and the props are stacked. Candlesticks flicker as crystal chalices are lined up. And twin actresses are shackled and then racked. Men in masks and women in veils march, chanting, then two guys draped in cloaks join in on the act. They padlock all the windows and deadbolt the doors. Then the brass gong on the stage rings from impact. Silence fills the auditorium and all the actors stopped. Bloodsucker's jaws, the fanged grins are cracked. Gasps, screams echo from the scattering audience, but they're all trapped as the vampire crew attacked. This show is just a bait to lure the prey for the meal. The announcer tells the crowd it's curtains for you. Now the vampires feed off. All the people are whacked. And boom.
That's really cool, Dick. I like that a lot. Because there is something special about being in a stage show and having that to go. Because you can actually hear the audience from behind it. And it sort of like builds up the sort of tension because the audience sort of gets louder and louder and louder and then they sort of play the gong or they hit a bell or something like that and everybody goes silent. And you know in that moment that it's about to kick off and it's about then that you think, shit, have I remembered all my lines? But apart from that, it's there's a real tension to it, having done it a few times before when I was younger. And I think you sort of get that sort of sense of that impact of the curtains. Particularly when you've got sort of vampires sticking around. Hannah, did you listen to that or are you busy finishing your poem?
Yeah, I was. I can't switch over or I might lose this one being on AP. I'm trying to write it in there.
No, I understand. No. Sorry, keep going, keep going. No, it's all good.
It's all good.
But, no, I really liked it, Deb. I really liked it. Took me back to my stage show times, which is cool. So,
thank you so much.
Thank you. So I am going to grab Stephen's poem and put it up on the board and read that too. And I have to, when Hatter comes back, I have to remind him that he has to choose topic too, by the way. But we'll get to that. So this is a poem by Stephen 76. He's good enough to put on the board for us. And another one of his 39, quite remarkably, four line tens. I've got one, Deb, and I'm pretty pleased with that.
I have one as well.
There you go. We're sort of batting one for one. And he's got 39. This is one of 39. It's crazy. Called Jack Frost's November Visit, and it goes a little bit like this. Lattice work hung high and tight, clips hold tottering curtains back. Flurried snowflakes stick to eyelash tips, winter's icy breeze and stacks. Painted leaves tumble upon sleeping grass as temperature does lack. Sitting on the chilly deck, feeling Jack Frost bridges smack. In Isn't that neat? It's super neat. It's just a very cute little piece. What did you think, Steph?
I'm always impressed with these four lines that he does, because he packs so much into them. And I like the image of the lattice work, because like the frosting and the twinkle, you can picture it all, and the curtains, you know, the snow and the ice curtains, everything that it is touches. So I thought the phrasing there was really awesome. And painted leaves tumble upon sleeping grass as temperatures does lack. It's just like I said, he can really pack a tale into these four lines.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
bold imagery.
Into four lines.
You know, right. Sights and sounds, too. So, great share.
Yeah, it is. It's a really, really cool poem. And I love that Stephen really writes very broadly. And so, you know, we go and pick a topic out of thin air like curtains, and he still has something on it. It's amazing. And you know, it's one of his suite of four-line poems, and so that's really cool. So thanks to Stephen. I hope you're feeling well, Stephen, too, so and that things are going well for you. So I'm going to check in at this point with Hatter. Hatter, do you need a little bit more time?
Yeah, a little more. I'm almost there.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. That's cool. So, we should grab mine, yeah, at this point. And the nice thing, well, it's interesting because I was sort of reflecting. I was reflecting, and I was thinking, you know, curtains aren't that popular anymore. You know, they're sort of, you know, the best curtains that are around at the minute that are just sort of curtains that are barely there. And I was sort of thinking that's really sort of interesting that there's less curtain than there was before and there's less curtains than there was before. And so I went on a bit of a thought about that. And then at the same time I was thinking about that, I then went and remembered my trip to Paris and seeing a little bit of Marc Chagall. And so that's why the illustration is on the poem. It is by a French painter called Marc Chagall. And he did a wonderful job. He was a modernist painter, did a lot of work in the 1920s, 1930s. He was originally from one of the Russian republics. He then moved to France in around the 30s. He then moved to New York for the totality of World War II and then went back to Paris. So became a French citizen in his later years. Lived a long life too, to the age of like 96. So that's a very typical sort of Marc Chagall painting there, with mixing colours you wouldn't think in this particular case. Periwinkle red and green, basically. So this is Curtains, and it goes a little bit like this. Heavy dusted and gathered by fold, glass allows warming spirits disperse. They're designed to protect heat from cold, as kindly wishes go hunting a hearse. At their peak were grand works of art, not just fabric sewn into rough and dull, grand halls and rooms, colour and part, while in Paris one adored by Chagall. In these times of tiny houses and steel, where there are low energy lights near, their folds seem to arrest the parting feel instead of causing trends set in clear. Much like manners, the curtains less sought, as men would stand and open with doors, a little old-fashioned times of court in this world were little hidden deports. In part.
Awesome. And you're right, the colors do go well together. Go figure. I kept trying to picture
yeah,
the green.
Really, yeah, I mean it's such an interesting sort of set of colors, but mostly purple or periwinkle. Depth, you know, there's a strong lot of purple sitting there.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't
think, can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. Well, this is true, but you wouldn't have thought that you would have had that combination. Yeah. And really interesting painter, abstract painter, sort of modern romantic sort of painter, one of the first, and very famous for setting up a school like this in the former Russian Republic. He left before he went to Paris, but he's much more known in his later years as Parisian, and he worked in a whole heap of different forms, not just paintings. He did ceramics and he did glass, stained glass, famously in a number of very important French cathedrals. You'll find stained glass by Chagall. So very interesting.
And you know, it's pretty simplistic, but yet you can go in so many different directions. And I noticed that even the Eiffel Tower is in the background. But the poem,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah, the poem. I really do love how you wrapped it all around the fact that the once grandeur that came from those curtains, or the once courteous way people taught or treated each other with holding the doors and stuff, and those old-fashioned manners, both have gone by the wayside. And I think I had mentioned that. it used to be with my mom and my aunts and my grandmothers that it was like a big deal what you could do to dress your window, and 99 different kinds of curtains all on the same window. And now if they throw up anything, sometimes it's just some blinds.
Yeah.
So it's cool that you compared the two.
Yeah. Now, I just want to say that the two sort of intersected, Deb, for want of a better word. It just sort of seemed that was just sort of a thing. So I was sitting there having sort of dinner last night, and it just sort of came to me that the two sort of seemed to strangely sort of in time be connected, if not by anything else. So, yeah, it was just a sort of random thought, but it seemed to work for me. So I just went with it, as you do. So
sometimes you don't even realize how you something could be paralleled that way until you put a little bit of thought into it, and then you're like, yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah. Well, and curtains sort of also meaning that something is not happening anymore, you know. So I like the idea of curtains, but you know me, I like there to be double meanings of things. And so the double meaning here being that the curtains are sort of curtains, if you know what I mean. They're sort of, their time has passed. And so I kind of, as I said, I always like that sort of sense of a double meaning when you're looking at something, if you can. And I've always liked the artwork of Chagall. Kay was commenting on it earlier and saying that she had Marc Chagall, and he's much more famous in Europe and in France than he is elsewhere, but just a brilliant, brilliant modernist artist. Deb. So, anyways, there you go. So far we've looked at French modernists from Russia and English bands from the middle of England. And so, Hatter, I'm just wondering if you've had enough time to have a think about how your poem's going.
I've gotten the last stanza, two more lines.
Well done.
I don't have it written down, so I've got to remember what it was.
Okay. Well,
I'm looking at some of the other art. He's got quite the eclectic mix here.
He has, yeah. Well, he was very, very well known for his use of his interesting use of colours and juxtaposition, Deb. So, you know, people were always flying, and there were cellos, and there was music, and there was all sorts of bits and pieces in his paintings which are really interesting. He went in certain, you know, styles, and some got more sort of sophisticated than others, but very, very dreamy. I love his use of colours. I just think his colours are brilliant. He is the Chagall's now from his, you know, prime period of, you know, 100,000 US. They're brilliant, brilliant pictures.
The one I just put on the board is for the sale price of $5,069. But it's, look at that butterfly. Look at this. There's, I can see the dandelions. I can see the larvae. I can see, I would assume there's some cocoons in there. I mean, but the, wow.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing use of colors. And that's probably a one of his newer ones near the end of his career. The classic, I'll see if I can find some of the classic Chagalls, because they're sort of from the 40s and 50s, and they're a little bit softer in colour there. I'll see if I can find them, because they're Yeah, so this is more.
Is that what you, is that the picture you, that's your picture that you painted?
No, God, no. It's that's Mark Chagar.
The one that ever posted? I was gonna
say that's Mark Chagar. I'd be on a Learjet somewhere, Pat up. Crossing the world, doing art. No way in the world.
I was going to say.
If you had said yes. No, God, no. And so I'm just about to show you a classic sort of Chagall sort of picture, which is from the sort of 1920s. And see how it's much softer in the colours and he got quite bold towards the end of his career, but the classic sort of Chagall is that sort of colours, the sort of very much watercolours, Deb.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Now I know that the butterfly one was acrylic, but yeah, I can see the difference there, and you can see the. I don't want this to sound negative, but the flatness versus the, you can actually see the brush strokes and stuff in the one above it. Both are really awesome, but so different from one another.
Yeah.
In style.
So many different periods and styles, yeah.
In writing, you use a metaphor to basically suggest an image, right? You're just suggesting. That's what the really good painters and artists. You don't ever have to draw anything like in the backgrounds for sure. Not mainly your subject, but anything in the back. You just have to suggest.
Yes.
What it is.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No. Very.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Very much so, Hatter. And that was what Chagall was all about. He left more or less deliberately. He left gaps. Yeah. And as you rightly say, that's what great artists do. You know, they don't. You know, they don't save everything just because they just go and leave utility.
It's like
it's like
drawing a crowd of people behind something. You just want people on the streets or something. You just got to do it to just suggest, and your eyes will pick up. Well, you know what it is. If you try drawing it, it's just three lines. You know. But they're so good to make impressions of what they want. It's
yes, yeah. You're absolutely right. Just some brilliant use of imagery, and you're correct. He left things. He left spaces. Yeah, and he got you to fill in the rest. And so I'm just showing you another one now. This is a sort of classic Chagall painting from later in his career. And you can see the sort of bits and pieces there. So it almost looks sort of half finished. Yeah. But it looks like
Picasso in his cubism a little bit.
Yeah, it does a little. Yeah. And he was operating at the time of Picasso. But that there is a $100,000 painting.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Picasso, every time that he had a new girlfriend, new wife, new lover, he changed his style. The last thing when you talk about Picasso, everybody thinks the cubism is all he's about. In fact, Picasso was an excellent painter. When he went through his blue period. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's same as Chagall. Yeah, they went through different phases. It's just brilliant. So, but yeah, Chagall, yeah. Brilliant painter. And as I said, not hugely known in the States, but there's another beautiful picture of death that you've shown there that was beautiful.
Oh, I like the blue one. That's good.
Yeah.
From 1914,
yeah,
isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's beautiful. When he was quite young, about 30 then.
Now, I finished my poem, but it's not quite what it was, but
well,
it's there.
You know, it is. It's an is, Hatter. It's still there. Now, I have a question before you do your poem.
Yeah.
And that is, did you put any thought to what next week's topic might be?
I heard you mention that when I was busy. Not yet.
Yeah.
I'll think of something real quick.
Okay.
I got it. Let's go light. Light.
Oh, you've got
light.
Light.
Yeah,
light. We can do that.
Yep.
That's fun. Yep, mm-hmm. We can do that.
Anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Light it is. Now, I'll get you to put your palm back up on the board. Now, before you're doing that, I have to thank and apology at the same time, because I got a wonderful message from...
I can put mine on. I can put it on.
No. If you can put that on, that'd be great. I just was going to say, I got a wonderful message from Tans, the poet Tess from New Zealand. And she was talking about the fact that in Auckland, they've had ridiculous amounts of rainfall. They had a huge dump of rainfall, which caused flooding everywhere. And then they had a cyclone go through unusually about 2-3 weeks after. And so there's water everywhere. And flooding and rains, and so she's been through all of that. That she had the presence of mind to actually write to me about not only the fact that I sent her a picture, and she was inspired to go out and actually get her oils and charcoals out, which is wonderful. But she also caught the end of our show, Hatter, and she said it was really cool to hear us because it had been a while since she tuned in. And she actually missed the fact that she had some poetry in the home. So very much hoping that you're tuning in again, Tans. Thanks for your message. I'll send you a message back very soon. I've been up in Sydney all week at my wonderful board meeting, which has taken all of my time. Okie doke. Hatter, we're up to you.
Okay, didn't get a picture up there yet. I didn't dare try.
That's okay.
It's called neutering.
Oh. And now, are you okay to read it? I should have asked.
Yeah, I can read it. I think I better.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
And it goes like this. The spring of youthful summers, that's where it all begins. Pull the curtains tightly so no one can see in. I learned to walk around the house wearing nothing but a smile. I didn't know about the nudists or the different lifestyle. One day I failed to secure the view. Four eyes were at the window. It was the young neighbor lady and a girl I did not know. The day I met a male lady, I opened up the door. She stood there smiling at me, asking for an encore. I learned how to kill the time in the months of summer heat. Close the curtains if you want, or come in and take a seat. Each day I walk the empty house. I'm sure it's not a sin. Be sure to pull the curtains tight so no one can see in. When it would get much hotter, I would turn the sprinklers on. I'd see if the coast was clear, then sprint across the lawn. I could see the lady watching me from behind the curtains hid, pretending I don't see her. So this is what I did. Without anything to cover me, I would turn the water on and run through the sprinklers without any clothing on. She saw that I made contact with her voyeuristic eyes. Behind the curtains in the dark is where she liked to hide. I met the newest neighbor. She said her name was Gwen. She said to pull the curtains tight if I didn't want her looking in. She smiled as she said it. I think it might be true. She told me that she watched me totally in the nude. I begged her pardon and smiled back as if to her, I'd say, thank you for telling me. I'll see you later today. It's written to love thy neighbor and to try to get along. She said she fell in love with me as I ran across the lawn. I used the rest of that summer, never wearing any clothes, running through the sprinkler naked from head to toe. One day I was caught by a female cop. I should have read the sign. Cop for neutering in public view comes with quite a fine. Yeah, it was better. I had it all dialed in. It was blah, blah, blah. In poem.
It's a complete story. I mean, I thought when you said you'd lost the poem, I was expecting, you know, two or three stanzas. Yeah, that was my thinking. Yeah. I wasn't expecting to remember.
I had some of it written down. I had most of it written down, yeah.
16 stanzas. Jesus Christ, Hannah. That's like, you know, it's like an all-time record, I think, you know. You know, that's heading towards the 350 word limit that we have. You know, that's like a serious piece of writing right there. So it's actually really fun. I like the neutering. I like the fact that you got a fine and that there was a female cop there. I think that's kind of fun. But there's something sort of kind of old fashioned, sort of innocent, really, about sort of just, you know, doing a nudie run across the grass before we all got so serious about ourselves and decided that was an offence. It's kind of interesting, yeah. And that's sort of what you're talking about, sort of a reminiscence of early days and when things were sort of simpler and less complicated. And it's a really interesting way of doing it. So I really liked it. It is complete. Deb, what did you think?
Can we say hello to Sky? Sky, Sky.
Oh, Sky, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good. How are you?
Good. Glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here too. We need to get a poem from you though, Sky. If you're here, you know, you can't just drop by and say hello. You've got to actually read something. You realise that?
I put something in there.
Cool. That's like a toll. Anyway, yeah. Did you want to talk about Hatter's poem while we now have listeners in Norway? Go figure. And so we're up to 71 countries, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
Well, you know, I was actually giggling in the background, especially on the parts where she was falling in love. Where's the I know I've seen it. He did it more than once. She told me that she watched me totally in the nude. She said she fell in love with me as I ran across the lawn. Now, my comment would be a little bit different if this was Sunday and we were in a different room, but I don't know why that tickled me. I was really giggling at that part, Hatter. I think that you definitely had fun because, as AP mentioned, you got 99 stanzas here, and I just think that the story's cool, that the visuals the visuals are pretty funny, and I'm just wondering, you said twice that the neighbor fell in love as you ran through the lawn. She must have really saw something that she liked, that's all I can say. But this was really fun.
Yeah, nicely done. Nicely done. That kept the PG-13. Well done.
Neutering, yeah.
Good stuff, Adam. That was fun. Scott, I have grabbed your poem, if only I were not a jewel hidden in chest, and put it up on the board for you to read.
Oh, thank you. And if I could, I heard most of Hatter read, and Hatter, I think you're absolutely nutty. Yeah, I did. Actually, when I clicked on the poem, I was listening, and I thought it said nuttering, and then I realized it said neutering, but I think it was the only word.
That was neutering.
Because I was like, this guy's not running around and doing all these crazy things. And I think the main point of it is I think you should just be who you are and have fun. You only live once, right? Or I read this quote the other day, you only die once, live every day, right? So make it up and just run around your lawn naked. And if you get arrested, then the cops will have a fun story to tell. So, you know, so. Right.
God.
I was caught one time swimming. I was in the lake at dusk, and the neighbors came home without letting me know, and I was swimming off their dock, and I was skinny dipping, so I couldn't get out of the damn water until they freaking went back up to the house.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's one way to get out.
Right, so this one has the word curtain in it, and it's a little bit of it's about curtains and veils and hiding behind them. So I thought it fit. It's called "If Only I Were Not a Jewel, Woman and Chest." She said I was a pearl, but kept me locked away. Shame gathered on the edges of bedside table, the scuffed mahogany she turned to each eve to pull the beaded metal chain of lamplight. It felt as if she only came to life in dark, smiling within the curve of cradling palms and dimpled lumber spine, as lips sipped sweat from back like vintage bowls of wine. But when first light danced on curtain folds, she placed me back within a trinket box, among letters licked with love's promise, the dried primrose and sterling necklace. And I, the pearl, placed against her breast in brief calms of starlight and moon dance. As the music box closed within her chest, hidden in the corners that gathered regret. End quote.
Great image. A great image, Sky. And I love the, I wondered what it was that you were talking about. And it wasn't until right near towards the end that we understood it was the pearl necklace, and then that when it was closed, it quite a lovely line, hidden in the corners that gathered regret. And I have to say, you could actually read this next week as well, because you've got that wonderful stanza that says, but when first light danced on curtain folds. So curtain this week, light next week, you've covered both. So I thought it was really cool. Deb, are you going to say a few words about this one?
Yeah, I'd love to. For starters, guys, I like the old-fashioned feel to the art that you chose. And then as I listened to your read, you did a great job making this have a classic feel as I listened to your read, like the vintage bowls of wine. But what really got me is like stuff like the dried primrose and sterling necklace. And the brief calms of starlight and moon dance wept as the music box closed within her chest. And you know that feeling when the music box closes and the music stops, and related to the one inside her chest, it was really sad there for it to stop. But hidden in the corners that gathered a regret. So it was really an emotional poem. But like I said, I'm really, really impressed by the. I think the word I'm looking for is the classic feel of this. Great share.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like those pieces of sort of like classic sort of Victorian type pieces, Sky, sort of 1890s, 1900s, and the inlaid box and the glove and the porcelain and the use of silver, and it's really cool. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I remember the little music jewelry boxes where you would close the lid and the ballerina would lay down, and when you lifted it up, it would stand back up on, look like glass or something. Is that what you were talking about? The Well,
yeah, but it was a metaphor. It wasn't really about the jewelry box. It was a metaphor. Yeah, but the jewelry box was used. The pearl necklace was used as a metaphor for a relationship.
Yeah, okay. Should have known.
Yeah. No, I agree. Really neat and just a beautiful. A beautiful use of metaphor and a beautiful use of an image to portray something. Sky, I really liked it.
Thank you.
So, okie dokie. Well, Deb, it's not Deb. I'll go to you first. Deb, did you want to talk about what's coming up on... A Team of Voices in the next little while.
Well, absolutely. Monday, Personal Prompt Monday, I have a major variety. It wasn't just one artist. I went crazy and found a whole bunch of stuff. And I pair them with quotes by none other than Pretty Bird. There's some great quotes to choose from and some very interesting art to choose from. And I might have said it, but that is at 10 p.m. And then, speaking of Pretty Bird, on What the Flux, she's doing Dead Poets. And she said to pull out a favorite poem of a famous poet, and then write a poem that you're inspired by it. And her show is also at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. And then we will leave it there because I'm not positive whether Sweet will be back for Thursday or not. But Friday's open poetry with Liquid Dam. Also 10 p.m.
We've got a double shot of Pretty Bird, is what you're telling me.
Yes, sir. On my show Monday with her work, and then as the hostess on Tuesday. So Monday and Tuesday at 10, Pretty Bird time.
Gotta love that. And I just put a little photo up on the board of something that sort of is on that sort of period. Sky, my great uncle's tobacco box, which is inlaid with a little pipe on top with sort of ebony and walnut. You can see that little hinged case, and was something that was picked up around about 1915 in Malta, of all places.
Amazing condition.
Yeah, it's lovely condition. Yeah, so it's just over 100 years old with a beautiful brass hinge, and it's still got my name on the bottom because it was always Uncle Jack's intention to give it to me. So there you go. Still got Peter sitting on the bottom.
What is it? What is it?
I am going to say goodnight to you guys. I am trying to be...
Thank you for coming along.
Wait. Before Sky hangs up, you want to tell us what's coming up? Go.
On Storyboard, that has been moved to Thursday permanently. I have Coneheads, so you could write to any of the theme scenes, characters, and or quotes. You can bring a poem about aliens, even if off-topic from the topic. I usually bring the quips and the fun and the trivia. You guys just bring a poem. And then I am on, not this week, but the next week, I am on A Team of Voices on Tuesday, down the tube. That will be up before Tuesday or on Tuesday. And, Deb, I've been working hard for you today. I did two poems. That's a lot for me, right?
I just noticed that. Yeah.
Well done, Sky.
But I started working backwards, which wasn't a good idea because, you know, instead of doing Monday's show, I'm doing I did AP's show and Blue's show.
Go where you follow that muse.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Good night, guys.
Guys.
Thank you, Sky.
Thanks.
Okie doke. So,
that was the fastest
hour
ever.
I know. It went really quickly, didn't it? It was really cool. So I'm going to go out with what I started with, which is Elbow, because, you know, I like the sing-along at the end, Hatter. Yeah, I like the audience participation. The Brits are great at it. Huge crowd of 75,000, they really get into it. So I'm gonna finish off with that, as I started. And we are back for Light next week. Yeah? So
Light.
Light. Wherever that takes you. Meantime, this is Elbow, One Day Like This. Thank you to yourself, Hatter. Thank you to Deb. Thank you to Sky. Thank you to Stephen. And we'll be back next
thank
week.
You, AP,
talk to you
and
soon.
Thank you, AP Taylor Poetry Foundation. Hatter, check your email.
Pleasure.
Well,
here we go.
Okay.
Yes, it's a tradition. Yes, Flash. Whoa. classic choir. Come on, Glastonbury. Okay, listen to this. Harmonies. That's beautiful. Just do a bit louder. All right, gang, just you on your own.
Remarkable sing-along. You know, you just don't do the sing-along. You do it in part harmony, Hatter, for God's sake. So,
yeah.
No, seriously. You got 75,000 people, yeah. Guys are singing one line, the girls singing the other, and you've got them in two parts. Absolutely amazing. Anyway, that's it for tonight. We're back with myself, Hatter, and Deb next week for Lights. Until then, thank you all, and we'll catch you in a week's time.
Yeah. Have fun with the
Deb, call me. Call me, Deb.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Right. See you guys. Bye, Pete.
Bye.